Howdy and welcome to another Yeah Baby Tunes. I'm Mitch Michaels. By the time Bob Dylan recorded and then released the album Blood on the Tracks, he'd already been a musical icon for over a decade. He'd produced some of the most important music and significant songs of a generation. But his production, although still quite high, had dropped qualitatively in the eyes of many over the previous 4 or 5 years. One quote from a Rolling Stone writer and Dylan loyalist seemed to sum it up. What is this shit? Greil Marcus wasn't the only one wondering that. Dylan had left his record label, Columbia, to sign with David Geffen's Asylum. He toured a great deal with the band, and after some internal disagreements with Asylum, he returned to Columbia and began work on Blood on the Tracks. He and his wife Sarah had split up. Initially, Dylan was thinking electric for Blood on the Tracks and brought in Mike Bloomfield, who simply wasn't able to keep up with Dylan's pace, and then Bob decided the album would not be electric, but acoustic. A whole new approach to his recording took place, a kind of spontaneous approach, with constant changes, additions, and deletions. In the end, I guess he did okay, but that's your call. So give a listen to our choice of tunes as we present Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks on today's Yeah Baby Tunes.
Early one morning the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed at all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress. Papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through, tangled up in blue. She was married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. We drove that car as far as we could, abandoned it out west. Split up on the docks at night, both agreeing it was best. And she turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard her say over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Job in the great north woods, working as a cook for a spell, but I never did like it all that much, and one day the axe just fell. So I drifted down to New Orleans, where I'm lucky with a bee employed, working for a while on a fishing boat right outside of Delacroix. But all the while I was alone, the past was close behind. I seen a lot of women, but she never escaped my mind, and I just grew this place, and I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face in the spotlight so clear. Later on when the crowd thinned out, I was just about to do the same. She was standing there in back of my chair. I said, Timmy, don't I know your name? I murdered something underneath my breath. She studied the lines of my face. I must admit, felt a little uneasy when she bent down to tie the laces of my shoes. Blue. She lit a burner on the stove and offered me a pipe. I thought you'd never say hello, she said, you look like a silent type. And she opened up a book of poems and handed it to me, written by an Italian poet from the 13th century. And every one of them words rang true and glowed like burning coal, pouring off of every page like it was written in my soul. But me to you, tangled up in blue. invasion in the air. Then he started into dealing with slaves, and something inside of him died. She had to sell everything she owned and froze up inside. And when it finally, the bottom fell out, I became withdrawn. The only thing I knew how to do was to keep on keeping on like a bird that flew. To get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Some are mathematicians, some are carpenters' wives. Don't know how it all got started. I don't know what they're doing with their lives. But me, I'm still on the road, heading for another joint. We always did feel the same, we just saw it from a different point of view. They sat together in the park as the evening sky grew dark. She looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate. They walked along by the old canal, a little confused, I remember well. And stopped into a strange hotel with a neon burning bright. He felt the heat of the night hit him like a freight train moving with a simple twist of fate. A saxophone someplace far off played as she was walking on by the arcade. As the light bust through a beat-up shade where he was waking up, she dropped a coin into the cup above a blind man at the gate and forgot about a simple twist of fate. Was bare. He didn't see her anywhere. He told himself he didn't care. Pushed the window open wide. Felt that emptiness inside, to which he just could not relate. Brought on by a simple twist of fate. He hears the ticking of the clock. Walks along with a parrot that talks. Hunts her down by the waterfront docks where the sailors all come in. Maybe she'll pick him out again. How long must he wait? One more time for a simple twist of fate. People tell me it's a sin to know and feel too much within. I still believe she was my twin, but I lost the ring. She was born in spring, but I was born too late. Blame it on this simple twist of fate.
Blowing through the flowers on your tomb. Blowing through. seventh day and sat stone faced while a building burned. I waited for you on the running boat near the cypress tree while the springtime turned slowly into water. Separated you from me. You'll never know the hurt I suffered, nor the pain I rise above. And I'll never know the same about you, your holiness, or your kind of love. And it makes me feel so sorry.
Except for the drilling in the wall. The curfew had been lifted and the gambling wheel shut down. Anyone with any sense had already left town. He was standing in the doorway, looking like the Jack of Hearts. He moved across the mirrored room, set it up for everyone, he said. Then everyone commenced to do what they were doing before he turned their heads. Then he walked up to a stranger and he asked him with a grin, "Could you kindly tell me, friend, what time the show begins?" Then he moved into the corner, face down like the Jack of Hearts. Backstage, the girls were playing five cards, stood by the stairs. Lily had two queens. She was hoping for a third to match her pair. Outside the streets were filling up, the window was open wide. A gentle breeze was blowing, you could feel it from inside. Lily called another bet and drew up the jack of hearts. Big Jim was no one's fool, he owned the town's only diamond mine. He made his usual entrance, looking so dandy and so fine. With his bodyguards and silver cane in every herring place, he took whatever he wanted to and he laid it all to waste. But his bodyguards and silver cane were no match for the jack of hearts. Rosemary combed her hair and took a carriage into town. She slipped into the side door, looking like a queen without a crown. She fluttered her false eyelashes and whispered in his ear, "Sorry, darling, that I'm late," but he didn't seem to hear. He was staring into space over at the jack of hearts. I know I've seen that face somewhere, Big Jim was thinking to himself. Maybe down in Mexico or a picture upon somebody's shelf. But then the crowd began to stamp the feet and the house lights did dim. And in the darkness of the room there was only Jim and him, staring at the butterfly who just drew the jack of hearts. Lily was a princess, she was fair-skinned and precious as a child. She did whatever she had to do, she had that certain flash every time she smiled. She had come away from a broken home and lots of strange affairs, with men in every walk of life which took her everywhere. But she never met anyone quite like the jack of hearts. The hanging judge came in unnoticed and was being wined and dined. The drilling in the wall kept up but no one seemed to pay it any mind. It was known all around that Lily had Jim's ring, and nothing would ever come between Lily and the king. No, nothing ever would, except maybe the jack of hearts. Rosemary started drinking hard and seeing her reflection in the knife. She was tired of the attention, tired of playing the role of Big Jim's wife. Suicide. Was looking to do just one good deed before she died. She was gazing to the future, riding on the jack of hearts. Lily took her dress off, married it away. As your luck ran out, she laughed at him. Well, I guess you must have known it would someday. Be careful not to touch the wall, as a brand new coat of paint. I'm glad to see you're still alive, you looking like a saint. Down the hallway footsteps, we're coming for the jack of hearts. The backstage manager was pacing all around by his chair. There's something funny going on, he said, I can just feel it in the air. He went to get the hanging judge, but the hanging judge was drunk. As the leading actor hurried by in the costume of a monk, there was no actor anywhere better than the jack of hearts. No one knew the circumstance, but they say that it happened pretty quick. The door to the dressing room burst open and a cold revolver clicked. Jim was standing there, you couldn't say surprised. Rosemary right beside him, steady in her eyes. She was with Big Jim, but she was leaning to the jack of hearts. Two doors down, The boys finally made it through the wall and cleaned out the bank safe. It said they got off with quite a haul. In the darkness by the riverbed, they waited on the ground for one more member who had business back in town. For they couldn't go no further without the Jack of Hearts. The next day was hanging day, the sky was overcast and black. Big Jim lay covered up, killed by a penknife in the back. And Rosemary on the gallows, she didn't even blink. The hanging judge was sober, he hadn't had a drink. The only person on the scene missing was the Jack of Hearts. The cabaret was empty now, a sign said closed for repair. Lily had already taken all of the dye out of her hair. She was thinking about her father, who she very rarely saw. Thinking about Rosemary and thinking about the law. But most of all, she was thinking about the Jack of Hearts. In another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel at death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Not a word was spoke between us, there was a little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail, poisoned in the bushes and blown out on the trail. Hunted like a crocodile, ravaged in the corn. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm. Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now there's a wall between us, something that's been lost. I took too much for granted, I got my signals crossed. Just pretend till it all began on a non-eventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. The deputy walks on hard nails and the preacher rides a mount. But nothing really matters much, it's doom alone that counts. And the one-eyed undertaker, he blows a feudal horn. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm.
I've heard newborn babies wailing like a moaning dove, and old men with broken teeth stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. In a little hilltop village, they gambled for my clothes. I bargained for salvation and she gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence, I got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm. Well, I'm living in a foreign country, but I'm bound to cross the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the clock to when God and her were born. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm.
Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks on today's Yeah Baby Tunes. We gave you Tangled Up in Blue, Simple Twist of Fate, Idiot Wind, Lily Rosemary and the Jack of Hearts, and Shelter from the Storm. Now, I remember when this album first arrived, it just had the sound and the feeling of being more Dylan, more accessible. It got panned pretty much early out. Nick Kent described the accompaniments as often so trashy they sounded like mere practice takes. In Rolling Stone, John Landau wrote, "The record has been made with typical shoddiness." Kind of funny because as time passed, critics have come to see this as one of Dylan's greatest achievements, perhaps the only serious rival to his mid-60s trilogy of albums. I guess maybe those deadline-demanding reviews can sometimes come back to bite you in the critical ass. Huh, boys? Influences, well, they've been laid at the feet of Dylan's estrangement with his wife, Sarah, although he's denied that. The album has also been described as the truest, most honest account of a love affair from tip to stern ever put down on magnetic tape. I don't think I'm jumping in the middle of that, but I will say it's one of the most refreshing returns I can remember from an artist of Dylan's stature. The music certainly still holds true for me today. These tunes just jump out at you. And for me, that's really a true sign of greatness. Blood on the Tracks from Bob Dylan on today's tunes. If you need some greatness or just some good tunes, don't forget our iTunes link. And hey, keep sharing us with your friends on Facebook. I'm Mitch Michaels. See you next time for another Yeah Baby Tunes.